Thank you for joining us today for this podcast. My name is Frank Conti. I'm a director with Huron's Higher Education Research Practice, and I'm one of the members of our IRB services team, and I'm joined by one of my colleagues on that team, Jonathan Hunter. Jonathan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Frank. My name is Jonathan Hunter. I am also with Huron's Higher Education Research Practice, and as Frank mentioned, we work very closely together dealing with the issues that IRBs face on a day-to-day basis. The purpose of this podcast today is to follow up on our webinar that we delivered on July 19th. And that webinar focused on how to operationalize certain aspects of the revised Common Rule. During that webinar, many participants submitted questions that, unfortunately, we just weren't able to address on the spot. So we wanted to take a few minutes here to address those questions and also to address issues that we have since been hearing in the community. There were other questions that were submitted that were very particular to a particular institution, and so we've decided to follow up with those individuals directly.
That's right. And as we thought about the responses to some of these questions that came in, we decided to schedule an additional webinar that is currently on the books for September 20th. And it's going to further explore some of the topics that we did not cover or didn't cover in as much detail in our initial podcast. And one of those in particular, where we got a number of questions, was the topic of broad consent. And I know that there's lots of community chatter and questions and some concern around the implementing broad consent. So we're going to hopefully try to address some of those issues in September on that webinar. And so to dive into some of our questions that we've received so far, there were a number of questions around the effective and compliance date of the revised Common Rule. And this is definitely a question that I know I've gotten at a number of our clients around the country. So we've grouped a few of these questions together. So as a reminder, as of this podcast recording, the revised Common Rule becomes effective on January 19th. Institutions can begin applying the Common Rule requirements on that date, and that date is currently also the compliance date for the revised rule, meaning that institutions must begin applying the Common Rule requirements on that date. The revised rule at 45 CFR 46101L3 indicates that research for which an initial determination has been made prior to the effective date shall continue to comply with the current version of the Common Rule. That is the pre-2018 requirements, the requirements that we're all following today. So we've interpreted this to mean that research that has received approval or approval with conditions, or if you're using the Huron Toolkit or Huron IRB software, modifications required to secure approval determination, those particular determinations are considered to have met the current regulatory criteria for approval and would then follow the current rule. That would not, though, include research that was deferred, tabled, or those kinds of determinations prior to the effective date of the new rule. So stating that another way, and hopefully to clarify, the revised rule or the 2018 requirements of the Common Rule would apply to research submitted before January 19, 2018, but did not get an approval or modifications required determination date before the implementation date.
That's right, Frank. And also, you know, one of the things that we included in the webinar was some discussion around how to switch for that research that existed prior to the 2018 effective date. And we included some information there that would be handy for institutions to go back to, because even if research was, in fact, approved or there was a determination before that date, there is the opportunity to switch. And there are some particular considerations around switching that need to be addressed. And again, we included that in the slides that folks can reference. We also received a couple of questions about how to review studies where both the revised Common Rule requirements and, for example, FDA requirements would apply. So as a reminder, in the webinar, we talked about the majority of the agencies that are currently signed up for the Common Rule are coming along for the revised rule as well, but there are a couple that didn't. Department of Justice in particular did not sign on to the revised Common Rule. And, of course, as you know, FDA has never been a Common Rule agency, and so there are some distinct requirements. So where does this matter? Well, this would matter in the case of the FDA, for example, when there's a clinical investigation that's subject to FDA oversight, and that is also supported by HHS. And our understanding is that the 2016 21st Century Cures Act requires that FDA regulations eventually be harmonized to meet common rule requirements where possible. But until that time, both sets of regulations definitely need to be satisfied. And so how do you do that? As an institution or as an IRB, you're reviewing a study that has FDA and OHRP oversight. What do you do? Well, as an example, the revised rule includes new elements of consent at 45 CFR 46.116. And as part of those new elements of consent, also there's a requirement that informed consent must begin with a concise and focused presentation of key information. This is not a requirement, or at least not yet a requirement, for FDA-regulated research, but our understanding is that the revised requirement, the new requirement, is not inconsistent with FDA requirements. And so what you'll need to think about with the way that you organize your consent form template is just making sure that you have aligned it as appropriately as possible to comply with the revised common rule considerations, but also keeping in mind that it needs to make sure to meet FDA requirements as well. This shouldn't be a problem, but ultimately whenever you're reviewing a submission that includes both FDA and OHRP oversight, you'll just need to make sure that the informed consent process and associated documentation satisfy both sets of requirements as well.
It's a great point, Jonathan. It's definitely something that we're thinking about as we revise our HRPP toolkit and the included consent form template to make sure that the template that exists incorporates all of the requirements for both HHS and FDA and other agencies as well as needed. So another question that we received was about continuing review. Continuing review of certain research is no longer required under the common rule or the revised rule. The question that we received was approval for such studies would never lapse. So those studies are just kind of open indefinitely, right? They're just hanging out there forever until the point when the investigator closes them, if they ever do that. So although the requirement for continuing review was removed for certain research, IRB oversight still applies to that research. So investigators still need to submit modifications if they're changing aspects of the research. They need to report unanticipated problems involving risks to subjects or others. And likely you'll want those investigators to also submit a study closure so you know when oversight of that research actually does end. So during the webinar, we recommended that institutions implement some sort of process. And what we're recommending, what we're building into our Click IRB product, is a process where instead of an annual review reminder, the normal 30, 60, 90-day continuing review reminders, we're building in an email notification, kind of a passive email that goes out to the researcher or study teams, and asks them, reminds them of their obligations. So reminds them that they have to submit all modifications to the research. They have to submit those unanticipated problems, and reminding them they need to close out the study when they've completed that.
That's right, Frank. We want to make sure that ultimately we stay in touch with our investigator community, even where certain aspects of the rule don't require the level of oversight that it did in the past. So once again, the topics that we addressed today, these were some of the most common questions that we received following the webinar or even submitted during the webinar. And we really appreciate the community giving us a chance to answer these questions. We want you to be on the lookout for the invitation to the September 20th webinar. We're excited to be able to follow up and present additional information and also to continue the conversation with you around those issues that are most important, again, for operationalizing these revised requirements. So we should be sending that invitation out pretty soon, which will include, of course, the topics. And once again, thank you for your time.